have spent today, it's going to be our third week that we've been talking about the Great Commission. And we went through, like I said, 2 weeks ago, we began talking about why the Great Commission is the mission that God has given the disciples, all of us included, the church, to accomplish, to make disciples of all nations. And we went through, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teaching them to obey or to keep everything I have commanded you. And last week we talked about that. We said that it'd be hard for me to teach anybody about Jesus when I don't even know what he said. So the point is that we need to know as disciples, as believers, followers of Christ, we need to get acquainted with what he said in order for us to teach other people. That's in verse 20. Teaching them to obey, to keep everything, not just some things, everything I have commanded you. And then he says, look, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's the latter part of the Great Commission that I want to focus on this morning. That promise that Jesus made to the apostles. I'm with you always, even to the very end of this age. If you got your Bibles, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, we're already familiar with the Great Commission. And I always say that as a follower of Jesus, we should memorize that. Because really, if you want to know what the mission for you in this life is, make disciples of all nations. Introduce somebody to Jesus, that they too become disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's what we've been talking about. And so, bear with me, you're already sick and tired of hearing me say, making disciples. But that's the mission that we've all been called to. Today, this is the last sermon based on that text. I broke it apart in three parts, and today I want to look at the latter part, the one that says, I'm with you always to the very end of this age. Now, it's interesting. The Great Commission, when you go back, you're right there, Matthew 28, starts with the words of Jesus. Say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's how it starts, with the authority of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the Great Commission ends with the words, behold, or surely, the NIV translates surely, but the word there is really behold, look, I am with you always to the very end of this age. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm with you always. So that's the part we're going to be talking about today. Now, you and I need to understand something about God. God always been on missions. You know, I love that song that says, God is on the move. It's so true. God always has been on the move. It's not now, in the 21st century. He always been on the move. Ever since mankind failed God, he's been on the move to bring about restoration to this world through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. God has always been on missions. And you see that. And the promise that God made to people back in ages past, I will be with you. I'm with you. And so Jesus now is making the same promise to his apostles. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I just want to show you some of the verses. I mean, there's so many out there where God's telling people, I'm with you. From the very beginning, God's been on mission. And every time he sends somebody to do something, he will tell them, I will be with you. I'm with you. Jacob, Abraham's grandson, he's running away from his brother Esau. Because he wanted to kill him. Since Jacob was a deceiver, he stole the birthright. One time he's sleeping, he had this dream, and God called Jacob. And Jacob dealing with God, with Yahweh, Yahweh tells Jacob these words. In Genesis 28, verse 15, he says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Imagine that, a fugitive running away, and now the Lord says, I'm with you, man. And I'm going to bring you back to this land. This is going to be your land for your future generations. I'm with you. The promise of God that he is with his people. I am with you, he told Jacob. Jacob later on became who? Israel. And that was all the nation of Israel. The whole Bible is all about them. And through that man descended the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You remember Moses? Moses, also another fugitive. He was 80 years old, and God calls him on a burning bush to tell Moses to go back to the place where he came running from. God told Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I'm sending you to Egypt. And Moses said, who am I that I can go to Egypt? You don't even know. I'm nobody. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and tell them, let the Israelites go? And what did God tell Moses? I'm with you. In other words, God saying, that's all you need, man. I'm with you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, the Lord says, I'm with you, after Moses gave the excuse, like, who am I? I'm nobody. You got the wrong man, God. It's like DJ was talking about Gideon. He probably told God, I'm the weakest. I'm with you. Exodus 33, verse 14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and will give you rest. That's the same text where Moses got so comfortable with God. It's a different Moses that you see in chapter 3 of Exodus. In chapter 33, Moses tells God, show me your face. And then God said, my presence is going to go with you. And Moses later on said, you know, if your presence isn't going with us, don't tell us to go from here, because we're not going. If you're not going with us, we're not moving. The Lord says, you know, I'm going with you. And if you study the history of the Israelites, every time they fought a battle, it was God who gave them the victory, because the Lord was with them. And how do we know that? Because the Levites will carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God in their midst. When they would not go to war without them, that's how they fought. Just bring the Ark of the Covenant to camp, and everything else will take care of that, because Yahweh was with them. The promise that He made to people a long time ago, I'm with you. Later on, when Moses is old and he's about to die, he appointed Joshua. Moses tells Joshua, the Lord, Yahweh, will be with you and will give you success wherever you go. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 through 8. This is Moses knows now that his time is about to come. And the Lord told him, you got to set up, appoint Joshua, your aide, appoint him to lead these people. Remember, Moses did not take the Israelites to the promised land. Joshua did. And then this is what Moses told Joshua. He says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. We like to use that verse a lot, sometimes out of context. Now you know to whom it was said that. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? Because if He's going with you, I mean, He had a record of victories. And He's not going to, like the song said, He's not going to start failing you now. If He was with you in the past, He's going to be here in the present. And He will continue to go with you in the future. He will go with you. And then that was Moses to Joshua. Then finally, God Himself talked to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 through following, when He says, be strong and courageous. I love this phrase when God told Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is on the move. He always been on mission. When He sends somebody, when God sends somebody on a mission, He always goes with them. And even when they feel like unqualified, like God would not send you to a place without giving you what you need to excel in that particular place. He would not send you to a place unequipped. He will go with you, He promised. And we see that through some of those patriarchs in the Old Testament. Then Jesus, which I think is, I mean, it's not really ironic, but Jesus then said the same thing to the apostles. After He commissioned them, He sent them on mission, go and make disciples of all nations and teaching them. And look, behold, surely, in other words, like you can't bet on it. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, you and I might have a theological issue here, because people say, okay, but how is it that Jesus said to the disciples, I'm leaving. And now He says, I'm with you. You get into the Trinity here. Some of you that are Bible students. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. How is Jesus with us today? Through the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus in the book of Acts. So He is with us in a spiritual form. Not physically, like the apostles were able to eat with Him and see Him and touch Him. But he is with us. No wonder he says, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's the promise. You see, Jesus promised to the disciples to be with them as they carry out the mission to make disciples of all nations. His presence is with us. I love that song. Your presence, Lord. His presence is with us. Just like he said, I'm not leaving you. It's been 2,000 years ago already, and he's still with us. I don't know about you, but that should give us confidence in this life, that he is with us. You see, after Jesus left the apostles, physical Jesus went back to the Father, but the Spirit still there, the Holy Spirit that we know in the book of Acts. And when you go through that book, you see evidence that he was with them always, just like he said. He was with the apostles. Somebody suggested that the book of Acts shouldn't be called the book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles, but shouldn't be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit working through them when the church started back in 33-34 AD. You see, Jesus Christ empowered his people to accomplish that mission that he left on earth. His presence is with us always. Now, like I said, I don't know about you, but I should not fear that. I love that song from Chris Tomlin. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of what? The God of angels' armies is always by my side. You think that he would just, you know what I mean? Like he wasn't thinking about what he was saying. That's what we got in the scripture. He's always by our side. Yes, yes, I know that sometimes you go to places like, Lord, where are you? I need you right now. But he says, if he promises, and I know the God that he is, if he says, I'm with you, you better believe that he is there with you. We should not fear the obstacles, the challenges we're going to face in this life. In our telling others about Jesus, it was encouraging to the apostles to know that Jesus said, I'm with you, even to the very end of the age. You see, you and I, my friends, we've been empowered to represent Jesus and to live lives for him because he is with us. The Holy Spirit was the one who ignited a fire in the first century, and we have been affected by that fire even today. Christianity started there because Jesus was moving through the apostles, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the apostles began preaching, and that was like propagating like a wildfire all through the Roman Empire, later on Rome. And look, even today, we're still talking about it in the 21st century America. Because Jesus said, I'm with you, and you saw it vividly through the apostles. There was one time that they got arrested, and the opposition could not understand how is it that ordinary men could just talk like that. And they even said, it was obvious these men have been with Jesus. They could not understand why they were so courageous after they were hiding when Jesus died. You know why they were so courageous? Because they saw the risen Christ, and he said to them, I'm with you. And it was evident. They saw it. The power of Christ in the preaching of the apostles. Now, you and I need to understand that you and I cannot make disciples on our own power and ability. I don't know you knew that. You and I cannot make any disciples on our own power and ability. It's through Christ. Our only job is to announce. We don't convict anybody. We don't convince anybody anything. God's the one who does that, working through us. We are announcers, broadcasters, and then he does the convicting because he's the one that gets in the heart and the soul of people and the mind. So you see, we're working alongside of him because he says, I'm with you. So we cannot make disciples on our own power and ability. Jesus is Jesus working in us and through us that accomplishes that purpose. You see, my brothers and sisters, when times are hard, and they will be hard for us, time of grief, struggles, whatever it is, you name it. I think you and I need to hear the words of Jesus when that time comes, that he's still affirming us, saying, I'm with you always. Even when you might not feel that I'm around there, but I am. Trouble is coming, Jesus told the disciples one time. But be brave. Reminds me of what Joshua, be strong and courageous, because I have overcome. I'm with you always, he said. In other words, what do you get from there? You're not here alone. See, you and I are not alone to accomplish the mission of God in this world. He's going alongside of us. That's why I should not be afraid when I'm talking to somebody if I run out of words to say, because he's going to take over from that moment on. And I just have to trust that he said he's going to be with me. And even though I might be afraid to talk to somebody because I'm thinking they're going to ask me the tough questions, you just got to go. Trust that he said, I'm with you. Like he told the disciples, don't worry what you're going to say. When you brought before the authorities and the police, I'm with you. But my brothers and sisters, the question and the thing that I have this morning is that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we kind of like live our lives as if he's not even around us or with us. And we see how we as Christians, sometimes we're panicking when things like that. We should not be panicking, because if he's greater, like we say that he's greater than anything in this world, why should you be afraid? Maybe just because we like the song, "Great is he that's in me, than he that's in the world." If he's greater, I should not be afraid. But we know we struggle with that fear. And sometimes the struggle is because we forget that he is there. We don't listen to the promise. It's a promise that he made. And we saw the way for centuries, God always been with his people. That's why the Jewish people could not eliminate it. They tried. They tried with Naaman in the book of Esther. They tried with Hitler, and there's still Jewish people around, because God said, you're not doing anything with them. God says that you better believe it's happening. So I believe his promise. He says, I'm with you. And I've seen God work on my behalf. I've seen it when I'm like, he's there. Because you feel him sometimes. You know, he comes in the most unusual ways many times. We're not alone in this world. God's not going to send you here. It's like, oh, you're on your own now. Bye-bye. He says, I'm with you. And I think we need to get that through our heads when tough times come, that he is with us every step of the way. As we continue navigating through life, as we continue introducing people to Jesus, when people reject you, Jesus said this, when they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me, because I'm with you. Paul learned the hard way. Paul got to be knocked down and blinded for 3 days. And you remember, he went to persecute Christians. Remember what Jesus told him? Jesus said to Paul, why are you persecuting the Christian, Paul? Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Because messing up with one of you guys is messing up with the King of Kings. Because he is with us. Then we should not be afraid. It should give us confidence. We should be brave in the midst of tragedy, whatever it is that happened, because he is going with us. Not in a physical aspect, but in his presence is with us. And I love what Moses said. He said to God, Lord, if you're not going with us, don't send us. It is your presence that distinguishes us from all nations of the earth. It is your presence that sets us apart. Do you realize it's God's presence that sets us apart from all the other people on this planet? Because he is with us, only with those who believe in Jesus. He sets us apart from everybody else. Now, we learn through the series of the Great Commission that the Great Commission is global, because it's talking about people from all tongue, tribe, and nation. That's the mission. We have to reach people, not just people here in America, but everybody. You see, that eradicates the whole black life, all life matters. Because for God, all lives matters. Silly people that now they call. He died for everybody. Black, red, white, everybody. God so loved the word that he gave. For whoever believes, it doesn't matter where you come from. And then he tells the disciples, talking to Jewish people, by the way. And I don't know if you caught that when we talked about the Jewish people probably were like, you're telling us to go to the Samaritans? Those people? Just say, go make disciples of all ethnos. That's where you get the word ethnicity. Make disciples of all people groups, ethnic groups. I want them too. I want them to follow me. And when they decide to follow me, I'll be with them. You and I have brothers and sisters in Christ that we don't even know yet, personally, from all tongue, tribe, and nation. So the Great Commission, that mission that we have, is not just for us. We need to embrace diversity. Oh, people, that's what God's calling us to do. That's why I don't like to see churches, all black churches, all white churches. You need diversity, because in heaven, you're not going to have a compartment all by yourself. In heaven, you're going to be with those people. And we better start getting it now. Because when Jesus comes, it's going to be too late. We got to start loving each other the way he told us now. Now when he comes. So he said, make disciples of all people groups. That's our mission. So it's global. It embarks the whole globe, the world, the universe. It's a universal mission. But you and I need to understand this. It's global, but it's not forever. This thing is going to end one day. Can't wait until I don't have to get up here and preach anymore. Isaiah asked God that one time. Isaiah told, when God told him to go preach, he said, well, for how long? And God said, when there's no more people in the town, then you stop, Isaiah. It's like, oh, that chapter 6. Like he wanted to know how long. You know, it's like, okay, you're telling me to preach, but how long? Until the city's light ruined, and there's no more people to tell him about me, then you stop. Jesus said, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That is telling me right now that this age will one day come to an end. One day you and I will have to make disciples. One day you will have to pray to God anymore or preach. The one thing that we'll not cease is the fellowship with God. It'd be even more, much better, but you know, but the praying, fasting, all those disciplines, reading the word, you don't have to read the Bible anymore. You won't have to hear a preacher until the very end of this age. The word there for age, it's not really world, it's time. You know, the time and space that we as we know it. This age, this time, and the space that we have will one day come to an end. History will one day end. So most people think that history is circular, like because they say, oh, it's just going around. History, according to the Bible, is linear. Starts there. Now, this event here might look like the one that took place here, but it continues, and then it had a beginning, and it will have a end. Just like Jesus said, I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. So just say, I'm with you always. In other words, you say, I'm going to be with you until the day you die, or until the day Jesus Christ comes back to get you. So to me, that's encouraging. For as long as I'm on this planet Earth, He said He's going to go with me. He's going with me. That should give me courage. And I should not fear, because if I know His presence is with me, what can man do to me? He's going and He's greater. When Christ comes back, our preaching, like I say in prayers, will cease. This mission to make disciples is for you and I until the day we die, or until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. Or for some people, it might be until the day they quit. Some people say, well, this is too hard, Lord, I'm done. Then that, okay. But if you're going to be following Jesus, if you're going to call yourself a disciple of Christ, your mission is not over yet. It will be over when He calls you home, or when He comes to establish the new order, a new time, to bring history to a climax, to bring history to an end. You see that in Revelation 21, which you said, and the old order of things have passed away, and now a new order has started. That's like a different dimension. You and I cannot even fathom that yet. It's like, because it'd be a universe with no pain, no suffering, no death. You and I have no idea, because we're still finite people trying to understand something like that. John tells us, like, wow, that's how it's going to be. That has not started. When would that start? Jesus said that in the model prayer. Hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, and your will be done. When that happens, you and I won't have to make disciples anymore. Praise God. Until the will of God is totally accomplished on earth, you and I won't have to preach and pray to Him anymore. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. In the meantime, we got to continue making disciples. If we call ourselves disciples of Jesus. It's been more than 2,000 years, and the church has been making disciples ever since Jesus told them. It started with 11 men. Then there were 12. And then there were some women in Acts chapter 1. Somebody asked me, Sheldon said to me on a text, did Mary ascend to heaven with Jesus? Do we have any Bible references that she ascended? Where is she at? And I said, she was with the apostles. And I gave it in Acts 1, you said that she was one of those 120 gathered in Jerusalem. And it's interesting because she wasn't from Jerusalem, but she was there with the apostles the day that the Holy Spirit came and empowered them to be witnesses. She was one of those ladies that day, the mother of Jesus. And he says that Jesus' brothers and sisters were there too. For some people that believe that he didn't have any other relatives. And so it's like, they were gathered there. So when the church started, man, it began, and they began telling the gospel. It's been 2,000 years since they began to tell people about Jesus, and we're still doing the same today. We don't know how long it's going to be until Jesus shows up, but for as long as we're here, we got to continue telling, making disciples of all nations. That's the mission. There's no plan B. God only have plan A. That's it. Now, to the church, that we got to go and make disciples of all nations. the apostles, the disciples, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the church began to accomplish that mission. Now, you know, like in most movies, let me just give you how the story ends. I'm going to just, you know, I don't know how you like. Let me just tell you that making disciples of all nations is going to be accomplished. Revelation would tell us, would tell you that. That mission that we're doing, at the end, will be accomplished. So I don't know if you, maybe through you or not, but God, at the end, is going to accomplish the mission. How do we know that? Am I making this up? How do we know that the mission of making disciples is accomplished? Let me give you this. The mission was to, this is a mission, whether you choose to accept it or not, to make disciples of all nations, right? People groups all over the world. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. John sees in heaven, it wasn't just Jewish people that he saw in heaven. He saw people from all tongue, tribe, and nation. What's that? The harvest of the Great Commission. At the end of the time, John, let me read it for you in Revelation chapter 7. It says, after this, there's a lot of after this in Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every ethnos, that's the same word in Matthew. From every nation, and from every tribe, peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and we're holding palm branches in their hands. You see, at the end of the time, there'd be a lot of disciples. So that mission, you see, through us now, and many other people will come after us, it will be accomplished. That's a future reference to the harvest of the Great Commission, making disciples. He said, make disciples of all nations to 11 people in the year approximately 33-34 AD. By the time you get to Revelation, it's the end of times. And you see there like people from all tribe, tongue, and nations gathered before the throne. So it's going to be accomplished, this mission. Jesus Christ is with us for as long as we live in this world. He's going with us as we fulfill this command that he has given to his followers. Now, my brothers and sisters, we should be strong and courageous as we navigate, as we go through. Sometimes it's hard to make disciples because people don't want to listen to you. But remember, they're not listening to you. They're not listening to Jesus. Just be brave. Don't fear that you're going to mess up. Satan always use the whisper like, oh, you don't know enough Bible. Or you're going to mess up. You're going to say, Satan, get behind me. I'm with Jesus. And I don't need to know everything. But he knows it. So he's going to use what I know. Remember, he's going to use your abilities to bring somebody to him. But you got to be brave and stand up. Say, Lord, I'm going to step up in courage and trust that you're going to do the rest. I'm just going to open my mouth and boom. Some of us, I don't even want to open our mouths sometimes. He was with the apostles when they began to preach the first century. He was with Stephen even when he was being stoned to death. To me, it's amazing. God said, I'm with Stephen. Some of us misinterpret the whole idea of God being with us. He was with Stephen, the first Christian who died because of Jesus. And Stephen is dying. People are throwing rocks at him. And he said, I see heaven's open. And I see Jesus sitting down there. And people didn't want to hear what he had to say. But he was with Stephen when he died. Jesus Christ was with Paul when he went to prison. He's writing letters from prison. He went with Paul when he shipwrecked in the ocean. He was there when in the good times and the hard times, to the point that Paul says, you know, I have finished my course. I have fought the fight, finished the race. I'm ready to go now, Lord. But he knew that every step of the way, as he was engaging in the missionary journeys, the Lord was with him because he said, I'm with you always. You better count on it. He was with Paul, his companions. He was with the disciple of John. That they told him to burn a pinch of incense to the emperor. And he says, no, I will not do that. And they said, you don't do it. We're going to kill you. He said, bring it. I'm not going to deny the Lord who saved me. And they killed him right there. But the Lord was with him. You see, for us, we think that God being with us, we're not going to have issues in this life. That's why I hate the prosperity gospel stuff out there. Like, because they don't tell you that we're going to have issues. They might kill us tomorrow. Time might not be good for us. But Jesus still says, I'm with you. And some of them go, how is that possible? How can he be with us? When you read the Old Testament, it says that God was with Joseph. He was in prison. A Apparently for us, being God being with us, we're going to go to prison. We're going to have a flat tire on the way to work. We're going to, everything has to go perfect. He's going with us. Doesn't mean that everything will go well in this life. It doesn't mean that we won't experience hardships and trials and tribulation. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus being with us doesn't mean that we will not get hardship and we will not get brokenhearted and we will not get suffering. That's not what it means that he's going with us. But let me tell you what it means that he's with us. What it means is that despite the struggles and issues we go through in this life, you're still going to have the strength to withstand it. You're still going to have this power that the world's like, how is it that you can still be praising God when the whole world around you is falling apart? Because you operate by a different system. That's what it means that he's with you, to give you the strength that you need to endure hardships. Like Paul, he said, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That sounds nonsensical in our culture today. Really, like, you're willing to die for Jesus. It means that we have the power to get through any trials and difficulties. It means that we are empowered to represent him and to live for him. It is his presence that separates us from the rest of the world. When we say that Jesus is with us, it means that you and I can have this peace that the world does not even understand that. And I've seen it. You see, you know how I know that Jesus is at work? Because when I see people that they might lose a sister or brother and they're still standing and they can, like, I admire you guys that you guys were able to talk. I don't know that I can do that, to be honest with you. When Lola got up and talked, that's how you know Jesus is right there. Because people say, like, she's very strong. How was she able? I mean, I don't know that I can have words to say. Because Jesus is the one holding them together. Because he is on the move and he said, I'm with you. So, I mean, we run out of words. We don't know the strength that we have. But in that moment, when you don't know, when you run out of resources, that's when you realize God's holding you together. And you know that he is right there with me. Because I don't even know how I did it. And I've seen it happening to all of us here. And you know, you have friends, it's like, wow, it was the Lord who provided. You know, I mean, people look at me and they think, it's like, how can you smile? How can you be at peace when your world, I mean, you don't even have a job, or, you know, people, the husband or wife left you and you're still at peace? How is that possible? It is possible, let me tell you, because Jesus is holding you together. And because he says, I'm with you. And I've seen it. And I saw it there. You know, and we're going to continue seeing that it's only through him that we can just, like, say, yeah, I'm still here, Lord. And yes, it hurts, it's painful, it will bring tears to your eyes, but you realize he's the one holding me together. He's the one that is carrying me through the storm. That's how you know that he is with you, when you can endure that pain, when you can have peace in the midst of the storm. But you can go through, and it's like, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can be at peace, and people look at you as like, really? My whole world fall apart, but yours will not, because Jesus Christ says, I'm with you always. See, my friends, Jesus Christ is at work in the lives of his disciples. He was at work in the life of the apostles 2,000 years ago, and he will continue to be at work in your life. He will not let you to fall apart. Because he's holding, even the midst of the trials and tribulation, they're going to come and attack you, you know, trying to really test your faith. He said, I'm going to hold you. Paul says that in Colossians, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn from among the dead. For by him all things were created, for him and through him. And he holds all things in his hand. My friends, he's holding you in his hand. He's like the laminating of the human body, that thing that doesn't, when you cut yourself, doesn't let you bleed to death. He's like the glue that's holding you together, so that when something happens, trying to shatter you, you say, I'm still standing. And not by my own strength, but by his power, because he says, I'm with you to the very end of the age. Something's going to attack you today or tomorrow, or who knows. They're going to come, try to shatter your dreams, shatter your life. And it's only by the power of God that he says, nope, I'm holding you. You're not going anywhere because I'm holding you together. So, he is at work, and he wasn't playing when he says, I'm with you to the very end of this age. God is truly on the move.